Welcome to worship today on this 14th of March, 2021. I'm Derek Ingfeldt, the pastor here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Saratoga, California, and I welcome you on this fourth Sunday in the season of Lent. Our theme this morning is the heart of God. We gather together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Good, gracious, and glorious God, once again we come together as your beloved people to focus our thoughts on your living and life-giving word that convicts us of our sin and brings us comfort, hope, and inspiration. On this day, we rejoice anew that in your love you created us, and because of your love, you redeemed us. Lift our spirits in praise before you now, that we may faithfully bring you all honor and glory. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening music this morning, What Wondrous Love.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing that with us today on this day when we focus on the love of God. We are hopeful as we continue in this season of Lent and also as we make our way through the end of this pandemic as the vaccination campaign continues. If you are over 65 or otherwise qualify, I encourage you to sign up to get your vaccine. It is going well in our congregation here at Emmanuel, and hope it is going well where you live also. Here in Santa Clara County, now more than 350,000 people have received at least one vaccination shot, and a full 10.6% of those who are over the age of 16 are fully vaccinated. Good news, but still a long ways to go. So please take care and keep your distance and remain masked, especially when you are around those outside your household. In less than a month, we are planning to host an indoor worship service here at Emmanuel. And so by the 11th of April, you will have three choices to worship. One will be just as you are now, to worship with us online. Another option, to be worshiping here on site, indoors. Or the third option, to worship outdoors, out in our courtyard, here on site. So I encourage you to avail yourselves of those opportunities. As we continue to be distanced, however, please do check our website regularly. There you will see the Daily Bread posted, as well as other opportunities to come together to join in live Bible study on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And this coming Wednesday, please join us for our Lenten gathering beginning at 7 in the evening as we continue to go through Max Lucado's Jesus, the God who knows your name. This week we will focus on Jesus as miracle worker. We continue to collect food and clothes and books for kids right here on site, and thank you for your contributions toward that. Thank you also for your generosity in giving as you support the ministry and mission of our Lord here through Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You can give your donations, mail them in, or go to our website to donate via Givelify or PayPal. Those are the options. So thank you for your generosity. And finally, if this service is of benefit to you and you get something out of it, please do share it with others. We are building our church without walls and rejoice in your connection to our ministry here. And now enjoy some special music, a handbell solo from Carol. Thank you. Thank you, Carol, for that piece, Holy Manna. And we will see how that also comes into the sermon for today. And now the gospel for this Sunday, the 14th of March, according to St. John, the third chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Jesus says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. In his book, Jesus, the God Who Knows Your Name, Max Lucado invites his readers into the classroom where an elementary school teacher is instructing her students about what it's like up on the moon. She talks all about the moon, what it's like, and what it would be like to walk on the moon, and then she opens it up for questions. Well, the kids have all kinds of questions. What does moon dust feel like? How high can you jump when you're on the moon? What does it smell like up there on the moon? Well, the teacher, having done research, can answer some of these questions, but much of it is guesswork, until someone is invited into the room, until Buzz Aldrin steps into the room and then begins to answer some of the children's questions. It is no longer guesswork, for Buzz has been there and done that. He speaks from personal experience. And so does Jesus. In our reading for today in the gospel, Jesus says, "No one has gone into heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man." And so we can trust Jesus at his word when he tells us about God, when he tells us what heaven is like. You may have come across someone who has spoken words to you along the lines of, "Well, in a previous life, I was," and if you hear those words today, you're rather happy that we are still in a pandemic, so you can keep your 6 feet of distance without offense. But when Jesus speaks about this, we can trust him at his word, that he has been there, that he knows what he's talking about. Jesus goes on to say, after speaking these words, that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Well, Jesus transports us back to an event which takes place in the wilderness wanderings from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, where that is recorded. This is not a very good event for the people to remember. They're traveling in the wilderness. They've been in the wilderness now for many, many years. They are almost making their way into the promised land. But of course, they don't know how much longer it's going to be. And so the people begin to complain. The word that is used in Scripture at that point is impatience. The people were impatient, and it resulted in things like, "There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." With apologies to Carol, who just rang for us that piece, Holy Manna, "We detest this miserable food." The result of their complaining, the result of their impatience, well, perhaps they would prefer venomous snakes, which is what happens next. The people are bit by these snakes, and some of them begin to die. They cry out to Moses, "Please pray to the Lord on our behalf." And the Lord instructs Moses to make a bronze snake or a bronze serpent, to set it up on a pole, and that all who would look up to the bronze snake would be healed from their affliction. They would lift their eyes and they would live. Lift their eyes up to the bronze serpent and they would live. Even as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, Jesus says. Here, of course, Jesus is predicting his own future, what is going to happen, his own crucifixion, that he too would be lifted up, that all who would look to him would live. And so life comes from death. Acceptance from God comes, even in the face of the rejection of men. Forgiveness is given by God to those who know not what they do. Even as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that all who look to him will live. And then comes the verse. The verse that is perhaps the most famous and well-loved verse in all of Scripture. You don't see it as much these days, but it is still out there. You'll see the placard that says John 3:16. You see it at football games and other places. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the heart and center of the character of God. For God so loved the world, Jesus says. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only, his precious Son, that all who would look to him would live. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, Jesus continues, but that the world should be saved through him. Jesus is telling us that the heart of God is a heart that loves his people, a heart that gives for his people, the heart of God that sends Jesus into the world not to condemn us, but to save us. For Martin Luther, this was life-changing, this good news. This good news of what God has done for us. And those words were so important to Luther in his own preaching, in his own sharing of the message of God. Those words for you. That God has done this for you. And that is the good news. That is the gospel message. That our eyes, when they are fixed upon God, they're fixed upon the one who does it for us. Our eyes are not focused on ourselves and our own works and what we do. Our eyes instead are fixed on Jesus and what he does for us. God is the one who loves. God is the one who gives. Grace is the word. Well, Jesus, in speaking these words, follows up with a conversation that he has with the first Irishman of the Bible, Nicodemus. Yeah, that's really bad. But Nicodemus is someone that Jesus is speaking to who comes to him at night and inquires of Jesus. He says, "Teacher, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God. For no one can do the things that you do unless he were sent by God." Jesus then tells Nicodemus, no one can see, no one can understand, no one can know, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. What? Unless he is born again? What does this mean? Nicodemus does not know what Jesus is talking about. Well, during this pandemic, my wife and I have tuned in for evening entertainment and have become engaged in a certain medical show. And in this medical show, there is one of the doctors who is a labor delivery doctor and has delivered thousands of babies. But even as we were watching a few days ago, we saw the delight in her eyes as she's bringing new life into the world, that no matter how many times it happens, it is still a time of joy, still a time of witnessing the miracle of God. When birth happens, it is something to rejoice over. When life comes into being, it's something to celebrate. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God. You see, we are witnessing the birth even there. We're witnessing the birth in Nicodemus, who has eyes to see. We know that you have come from God. Nicodemus is in the process of being born again. Even as it happened the first time, so will it happen the second time. So would it happen to him. There are many things you can do for yourself in this life, but giving birth to yourself is not one of them. Not the first time and not the second. It's something that is done for you. It's something that is given to you as a gift. And the second birth, the spiritual birth, the birth from above, is a birth that God works in you by his Spirit. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus on the cross and know that this is the love of God which has been poured out for you. And when you look to Jesus and you see that this is for you, and you recognize it, you come to know it, you come to know the love of God, and you are born anew. You are born of God. Your eyes are opened, and you can see. In the book of Job, Job and his friends play theologian. They're trying to figure out how this is possible, that Job is going through this time of suffering in his life. They go back and forth about why things happen, whose fault it is, and finally in the end of the account, Job says to God, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." Job's eyes are opened to the ways of God. It has dawned upon him. He has come to the realization of God's sovereignty and God's goodness to him in his life. Your salvation is not dependent upon anything that you do. What you do is dependent upon your salvation, is coming to recognize the gift that God has given to you in Jesus Christ, the Lord. God is the great initiator. Scripture tells us that we love because God first loved us. As I was meditating on the scripture this past week, a song came into my head, a song that I had learned many, many years ago. And it got into my head, and I just have not been able to get it out. But it's a good song to stick in my brain. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. I didn't sing it, I didn't rap it, I just quoted it. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Born of God. It's something that God does in you. When God grabs a hold of your heart and God brings you to your senses so that you come to understand his great love poured out for you in Jesus Christ our Lord. Ah, when it happens to you, it will not be like the first time. The first time when you are born and come into this earth and you cry tears of sadness for entering this cold, hard world. No, the only tears that you will shed are tears of joy at the grace that has been poured out upon you in our precious Lord Jesus. Only tears of joy. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And now, what shall you do? Now that your spirit has risen to the moon, what will you do? Jump for joy, higher than you've ever been able to jump before, as if gravity isn't even an issue for you. Salvation is assured because salvation is found in Jesus, and Jesus can be trusted. As Jesus will tell Peter at the end of this gospel, according to St. John, feed my sheep and follow me. Now that you have been born anew, now that God has done this work in you, when faith has come, this too is what you will do. Feed God's sheep and follow in his steps. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, in response to your great love and grace poured out on our behalf, we bow our hearts in humble adoration and give you thanks and praise as we go about your work in this Lenten season. We lift before you those who are in special need of your healing touch and the assurance of your presence. We pray for our brothers and sisters, Athena and Alice, Ashley, Lucas, and Victor, Cindy, Darl, Dick, and Doris, Dorothy, Greg, Harriet, Hazel, Janet and Julianne, Kelsey, Lee and Les, Rashida, Reed, Steve and Gina, Wally, Joyce, and Stephen. Lord, you know the needs of all these, your servants, and we pray that you would open their eyes to how you are at work in their lives. We pray for healing. We pray that you would draw them close to yourself and reassure them of your goodness and grace. We continue to pray for our nation, for unity and our leadership among nations, that we might be a blessing to others. We pray for all those who have been afflicted with COVID-19 virus, especially those who are continuing to recover or those who have been left with brain fog. We pray that you would grant them complete restoration. Especially we pray this day for Pastor Marty. We thank you for those who celebrate birthdays in our midst this coming week, for Jake and Sophia and Vivian. We thank you for these young lives and pray that you would continue to richly bless them with all that is good in the coming year. We also thank you for John and Sophie, who celebrate 26 years of married life together this coming week. Continue to draw them close together in your love, even as you draw them close to yourself. We pray for Governor Newsom here in California, that you would grant him and his staff wisdom and guidance, insight, humility, and strength as they serve the people of this state. We pray for our sister congregation, Los Altos Lutheran, and Pastors David and Lavinia, as they go about your work there on that site. We pray for missionaries Kent and Sherry and the work that they are doing in Croatia, that you would bless their ministry, keep them safe, and unleash your word to go forth with boldness. And we pray for those families who in these days grieve the loss of loved ones, especially we pray for the Gonzalez, Kozer, Leper, Peters, Strauss, and Thorne families. Comfort them with your presence. Encourage them with your promises of everlasting life. And so we lift these spoken prayers up to you, along with the silent prayers of our hearts, trusting in your mercy, as we join together in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this 14th of March, 2021. Again, you will have the opportunity to continue to be with us in this way, even as we get through this pandemic. We plan to continue to put these services out there, and they may look a little bit different, but we will still be seeking to give you our very best. And now receive the benediction, the words from the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Church of God in Rome. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now please enjoy some concluding music, which is called O Love, How Deep.